go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome to this episode of Deep Space High, sci-fi TV review podcast, where we talk about the latest and maybe not so greatest from today's sci-fi TV. I'm Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Poe. Oh, wait, we're not on that anymore. I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
I see what you tried to do there.
Yeah, I tried. It didn't work out well. I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
So, Chris, today is a big day in the United States. It is
election day.
Yeah. I mean, technically it's not today, but by the time this comes out, and if you're listening to it on the day it comes out, it's election day.
Well, the nice part is if you're listening to it on the day it comes out, the election results probably haven't come out yet. So
yes. So you probably still have time to get out and vote, given how early we do release these episodes. Yep. But if you are listening on the day it's released, we do appreciate you being one of the awesome fans who sit down and listen to our show day one.
The day up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you're listening to it on the day of the election day, and you do have the opportunity and you guys haven't voted yet. Yeah. I mean, it's very important, you know, regardless of, you know, who you're going to support. I think everybody can agree that this is definitely going to be one of the most important elections of our lifetimes. Yeah, I mean,
big election, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Green Party, Libertarian, Constitutionalist, Independent,
none of
undecided.
Above. Yeah. So that's what we need. Out. That's what we need. We need a Monty Brewster right now. None of the above campaign. That would be funny as hell.
None of the above. Choose me because the other candidates suck.
All right.
I'll be the guy for president.
Oh my gosh, the Bill Clinton impersonation. Huh? The Bill Clinton impersonation. That was Bill Clinton, right?
It was like a mix between Clinton and W. Bush.
Okay, I don't know. So, it's too hard to tell. They both have Southern accents, so.
Yeah, I've been drinking a little bit. Which reminds me, I forgot to get a second drink. So, oh well, I'll just kill this one.
Yeah, I'm good with the one that I got right now.
But, like we said, Election Day, get out and go vote. In other news, and in less, you know, in more important news, Mandalorian Season 2 is here.
Yes, and for those of you who don't know, we are recording this the Friday that it came out. We just sat down and watched it, and we're going straight from watching the episode straight into recording. We even recorded our reactions of watching it, and we might do something with that a bit later. Steve might have some tricks up his sleeve, and there's some fun things for you guys later on down the road.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. We'll see. We'll see how this turns out.
Yeah.
You can do it! You can do it all night long!
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it!
I mean, come on, I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it!
I'm gonna go do it!
Today's episode of The Mandalorian, Season 2, Episode 1, was entitled The Marshal. Interesting episode.
Yeah,
and this is definitely a spoiler warning. We are going to spoil stuff. We're not going to give the usual scene by scene rundown. We're going to talk about it. And so, spoiler warning. If you haven't seen the episode, stop, go watch the episode, and then come back to us. That's all I got.
Yeah,
say.
What he said.
That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say about that.
All right. So, well, you've been thoroughly warned. So let's get into the episode.
Yes, into the episode. Okay, so now we said we aren't going to give a scene-by-scene breakdown, but I am going to give you a summary of this episode. So, in this first episode, Mando is on a quest, as he's initiated at the end of Season 1, to unite Baby Yoda with his people. He's currently searching for more Mandalorians to help assist and hopefully point him in the right direction. And that leads to a lead of him going and contacting this guy on one planet, and he's like, hey, I heard there's a Mandalorian over on, spoiler alert, Tatooine. So where does this episode stand or stay? Stays on Tatooine. Mandalorian tracks down this guy. Turns out to be in a little outskirts town on Tatooine, and he decides, well, essentially the story is him helping this village and some Tusken Raiders kill this Tremors-looking motherfucker.
Oh my gosh, that was the first thing that I said when that popped up. One, I mean, it almost seems like a sci-fi western kind of, because, I mean, it was, they even had the spurs and everything for the sheriff. I mean,
yeah,
I mean,
the marshal.
I thought he was a sheriff.
No, the marshal.
Is he a marshal? Oh, I guess so. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, the marshal, which is, I mean, it's 6-1 had dozen the other. Sheriff's local, marshal is supposed to be federal, but 6-1 had done the other. The, I mean,
it's Star Wars.
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't have to relate to Earth.
Okay, I'm just saying, but same concept. So. It's out. It's almost like Western law enforcement, kind of old school Western law enforcement.
Yeah, it really is. This episode is interesting because it's just like you said. It's a simple. It doesn't really forward the story too much. It's a one off. Mando's on a quest, and this is like his side mission for those video gamers out there. It's probably not relevant. Well,
it's kind of back. I think
without giving away the ending yet. It is kind of relevant the way it ends, but it's very cool. This episode's very cool. It well, gives you some history on Tatooine and
I liked and how some Tusken when Raiders. I liked how when he got back to Tatooine, he landed at the same port with the mechanic or the babysitter mechanic or whatever the hell you want to call her. She actually remembered him, and it's funny. I thought I was actually quite impressed that. She was so considerate, like, hey, you know that he doesn't like droids working on it. And then it's, you know, she's insulting him because he's like, oh, okay, you can let him work on it. No, what? Now you flipping on it? Come on.
Yeah.
And gets to see Baby Yoda again. And, you know, I'm surprised how well she remembered. I don't know what the time lapse is going to be from, you know, season one to season two. But given from the trailer, it looked like it was a significant time lapse, given that the guy's beard aged and they aged a little bit, what looked like. From the trailer.
Yeah, it's one of those, I mean, even to talk about, let's talk about the scene before that a little bit. The opening scene, which I think is probably a third of the trailer that we saw. You know, he's on this planet, it didn't really specify which planet, but he goes to this fight ring or this underground fight club. He's looking for a guy named Gore Karish, who's, I have him listed as a Cyclops because I don't know his species name. So if you have his species name, just go ahead and, find us on Facebook or Instagram and shoot us a direct message and just be like, hey, Cyclops is blank. But finds him. You find two Gamorreans fighting in the ring with, I mean, their axes, but I don't know what's going on when the axes make contact because it's like they're axes, but they're like force field or something.
Well, it almost looks like they're using the axes. Well, when they're fighting, one's using it in the attack position, while the other one's using it as a defensive. It almost seems like when they're using it as a defensive, it almost works as like almost like one of those like Wakandan shields, electromagnetic shields, almost.
Yeah. Like, it's really weird, and I was really confused on how that was working. But I mean, it's a cool scene seeing two Gamorreans. Do you recognize where they're from?
The Gamorreans?
The species, at least, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's from the movies. The six, Return of the Jedi. Return of
the Jedi.
Yeah, they're on
Tatooine. Yeah, they're part of Jabba's palace guards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one of them gets
eaten by the... Oh, man, what's it called?
Rancor.
The Rancor. Yeah, there was a Twi'lek there. Are they like related in species? Because there was also Twi'leks in Jabba's palace. Is that what?
Well, I think you say Twi'leks, I say Twi'leks. I think they're just kind of all over the place. They're spread out.
Are they?
Yeah, and I think maybe they favor the desert worlds, maybe not. Because I thought Ryloth, their home planet, was, at least from what I remember from Clone Wars, it's relatively deserty.
I guess I just don't remember that from the Clone Wars. I never finished it. I still, sat down to rewatch, and I only got through like 5 seasons.
Oh, it's so good. Season 6 is interesting. The first arc of 7 is pretty good. The middle arc is, I don't really care for it. But those last 4 episodes are the bomb.
Are they?
Yep. And I actually rewatched them a couple days ago because they are just, they are really good.
Maybe I'll check it out then.
Yeah. But that's not the show we're talking about. So, speaking more in relation to the trailer in this opening scene, you see the whistling birds too. I mean, we obviously knew it was coming given that.
Yeah, we saw it in the trailer. Which we saw it still, in the trailer. Still, the scene was awesome.
Yeah, still funny moments. Baby Yoda, even though we saw it 10 times in the trailer, Baby Yoda, you know, closing the gate or his little cradle or whatever to hide the whistling birds or from the whistling birds.
Did we ever talk about, I don't know if we ever talked about this, but does that show intelligence?
Yet? Yeah, we kind of have talked about it, but we've talked about it in the way of how intelligent is he? We know he's aware. We know he knows of the Force and how to use certain abilities. So he's adapting and he's learning. He has to be somewhat aware. He sees the whistling birds. He knows what they can do. Is it from the scene in, is it, what episode is
well,
it?
Yeah, I was going to say, because did he see it the first time?
That's what I was, I thought he was still unconscious the first time it happened. So he might have, Mando might have used them again elsewhere. I can't think of where.
I don't remember right when now. He used them.
Well, he used them once in episode 3 when he rescued Baby Yoda from the Empire after he delivered him.
Oh, and he used them. No, he used them trying to rescue him.
Well, so, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He during that rescue,
but I think it was before.
Baby Yoda. He got Baby Yoda. He got Baby Yoda. Stormtroopers walked in and were like, "Freeze!" And Mando's like, "Okay, I'm holding precious cargo." He goes to put Baby Yoda on the ground and then lights him up with the whistling birds.
Oh, okay. So Baby Yoda has seen it then.
Now that's the thing. He was there, but was he conscious? Because he was unconscious for part of that escape.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, I think it does show some sort side of intelligence and remembering and adapting, knowing, hey, when these come out, trouble happens, so he hides.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I don't know if he can control them. And he, you know, doesn't want to get hit with one.
I think he almost has to, because otherwise, well, I mean, he'd never use them in a room against anyone that can't kill him or that doesn't need to kill him. So I don't know. That's a good question. How those work. Do they just seek out anyone who's
not you? Or not the source of the... Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll explain it later.
That's interesting. That's a good point. So anyways, Mando shakes down Cyclops and, Cyclops ends up running, trying to run away. Mando kind of hangs him by a light post from his feet to interrogate him. He gets the intel he needs because Mando has intel that this guy knows where another Mandalorian is. So he spills the beans. He says, "Tatooine, in a town called Mos Pelgo." And Mando's like, "Okay, I won't kill you." But then he shoots out the light and all these little red-eyed little creatures come out and like piranha-like and just attack.
Well, yeah, you see him when he's walking down the street in the opening scene.
Yeah,
in the opening scene that you could see the red beady eyes hiding in the background, but you didn't quite know what they were.
Yeah, now we're led to believe, even though they didn't show them attacking him like piranhas, you kind of assume it. I mean, it is Disney Plus. They try to keep all the content on Disney Plus in at least PG-13.
Yeah, well,
so
I mean,
they're not going to show it, but in my head, they went all piranha-like.
Yeah.
We saw it some in season 1, but it goes to show kind of how dark Disney is willing to go without getting, you know, too dark or too mature.
Right.
To keep it family friendly. Because in my head, you know, it's a pretty dark scene. This dude's going to get eaten by a couple dozen animals.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, he's still a bounty hunter. I mean, well, they did show a lot of people dying in this. I mean.
Well, yeah, it's one thing to show him dying, but it's like, you know, they get blasted and then fall over. It's not like you're seeing Well, like we saw with Badgie in Star Trek Lower Decks, ripping heads off and limbs off and throwing them with blood squirting everywhere. There's a little difference.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, that is designed for – I mean, that is TVMA, that one. And then, I mean, you – but for this, you still see people getting melted by acid or burnt alive by acid. And
yeah. I mean, like I said, it's dark, but they do it in a way to where, you know, it's not going to deter the families from watching it. As long as your kid's like 10, you should be good.
That's fair.
So yeah, like you mentioned earlier, they go to Tatooine, and then, you know, I liked how we learned a lot about Tatooine. Mando lands at the same spaceport that he did in episode 5 of season 1. Runs into what's her name? I call her the mechanic. What's the actress's name? Hold on. Amy Sedaris. So we see her again, first familiar face from season 1. We'll see. You know, it was a great scene, very funny. I liked her a little better here than I did in season 5. Episode 5 of season 1. Her there, of her lines didn't feel like they fit. It felt a little forced, where here it felt a little better.
Oh yeah, I mean, it seemed like there was more of a familiar presence with it. I mean, like I said, especially the way that they wrote the scene, you know, she was very considerate of a lot more considerate this time, knowing that he doesn't like droids, and then, you know, they're doing dumb shit or stupid shit, looking bad, and they're like, come on, you know he doesn't trust you guys. Quit doing dumb shit to make you look bad.
Yeah, stop digging around.
Yeah.
You dumb droids.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's funny because they're actually called dumb droids, too.
Well, they live up to the name.
If you caught our Mandalorian season 1 discussions, some of y'all might remember that. No, but I liked how we got a history, because Mando comes out the gate. I don't think you touched on this when you brought up the scene earlier, but he's asking about where Mos Pargo is.
Pelgo?
She's like, I haven't heard that name in ages. I was like, okay, Obi-Wan. But, you know, she explains it's this rinkadink town that kind of got wiped off the map when the Empire died. And, well, yeah, when they died out.
Yeah, so, and they get a little bit into the details of Tatooine, or at least in a little bit more details.
Well, yeah, because you find out, you know, Mos Eisley, obviously we were very familiar with it from, you know, both trilogies.
Is that where they're from? And,
well, Mos Eisley is from the original trilogy. That's where Luke and Obi-Wan go. They sell his speeder, and then they meet up with Han and fly out of there. Because, you know, one of the Imperial officers, like, this is the same ship that blasted its way out of Mos Eisley spaceport.
Oh, I don't remember that.
It's because you're not the hardcore Star Trek or Star Wars fan.
Yeah. I was going to say but Star Trek.
No. But in the prequel trilogy, in episode 1, the other town, which is Mos something Ellis, or Mos, it's not, damn, I did a terrible job at putting it in my notes. But the other town that they mentioned, Mos whatever, I think that is where the setting was for episode 1 when they meet Anakin. I don't think episode 1 takes place in Mos Eisley. It takes place in this other town, Mos Ellis or Elis or whatever they called it.
Right. Well, that's because they didn't live, Anakin in episode 1, they didn't live in a separate town. They lived in a different one because they were nearby in that village when they had to escape from the sandstorm. They didn't live too far. So it's got to be, no, because if you remember in episode 2, the farmer or his mother, Mi, married the farmer and went to live with him.
Shmi. Right. What I'm saying is the town where Anakin lived and where he worked out of,
uh-huh,
and where the pod race was held, it wasn't Mos Eisley. It was a different one. It was, Mos Espa. Finally found it.
Oh, Mos Espa.
So that's the setting for episode 1, whereas in episode 4, Luke and Obi-Wan go to Mos Eisley.
I wonder, are those the only two towns or villages in the planet, like, other than prominent ones? Like, That's all we ever really...
I think they might be the biggest ones and, the, like you said, most prominent ones, Mos Eisley being the biggest and, I guess, most desirable because the Empire, I don't know if in the original trilogy it had a wall, but the mechanic lady was saying that after the Empire's gone, she hasn't left the walls because it's just been, a shit show.
Yeah. You
know, people are coming in and trying to grab power when the Empire's gone.
Walls. I remember that. Do you remember that from Knights of the Old Republic?
It's been so long. It's been 10 years since I've played that game.
Oh, I remember that from Knights of the Old Republic. When you played Tatooine, they had a corporation there that controlled the city for and they had a walls built around Tatooine so you wouldn't travel outside of it. And
Mos Eisley, not Tatooine.
Huh?
Mos Eisley. No. You said Tatooine.
Yeah, I know. They're on Tatooine.
Yeah, but you said walls around Tatooine.
Oh, well, yeah. They're around Mos Eisley, but I guess it was on Tatooine and they were on the planet. I didn't know that. But I think that's the where they are city-wise in Knights of the Old Republic because they do have those walls. You have to go outside. And you end up actually fighting a dragon in that.
Oh, yeah. Scene. I do remember that vaguely.
Yeah. Shit, they stole Knights of the Old Republic Tatooine storyline for this episode. They kind of did.
Well, to Knights of the Old Republic's not canon, so maybe they're just trying to make some of the creatures from there to canon. I don't know. I won't say for sure. I mean, because I haven't played that game in 10 years. I won't say for sure that they stole it from there. But yeah, I vaguely remember fighting some creature on Tatooine now.
Oh, I remember. Well, again, I probably because I played it more recently than you have. I think I have both copies of it. So, and I played it recently because, I mean, that's one of my favorite games.
But yeah, I liked how much background we got on Tatooine. It was very, this whole episode is very good at explaining, you get a background of Tatooine or a little more information on Tatooine. You get a little more information on Tusken Raiders. You get a little more information on.
Okay, hang on. But I also got confused on the thing with the Tusken Raiders because, they do the sign language as a means of communication, but they also have their own language. I thought that the noises that they make wasn't their own language. That was just noise that they make, and they were deaf. They had to use sign language. So why is it now that they have a language?
Maybe.
And if they do, what's the point of the sign language?
I don't know, because in season one, in episode 5, that gunslinger episode, when they're signing, I don't remember them making any noises.
Yeah, I don't either.
But now they are making noises. It's almost like you need both aspects, at least in this episode. Like, you have to have the language and you have to have the sign, otherwise the conversation doesn't make sense. They have certain words they have to sign. They have certain words you can say audibly. So maybe that's what's going on. I am a little confused about what's happening with their language.
Yeah.
It's almost
know.
Like a hybrid. Like you need the bolt. Maybe not necessarily that they're deaf, but maybe some creatures can't vocally make the same sounds they do. So they do have this sign language that other species are able to use.
I don't know. It almost seems like Could you imagine if
Chewbacca tried to talk to Tusken Raiders? He can't because he can't make anything but his Wookiee noises.
Then why is it that all of a sudden Mando can speak it? Is it because of the helmet or can he actually do it? And if he can, how?
I mean, we already know he knows the sign language. He's had to work with Raiders or the Tusken Raiders before, as we saw in episode 5, and he knew their sign language then, so I'm assuming he knows their language. And it sounds like either he knows a lot of languages or he has some sort of AI and in his helmet or a universal translator in his helmet that helps him communicate.
Could but again, but another question that I had is, under that, how the hell does he not burn the fuck up in the desert on Tatooine in all that gear?
Well, either,
I mean, why is he not cooking in that shit?
Either Baskar doesn't absorb heat and doesn't get hot like typical metals, or he has a cooling system, probably some sort of, tubes or something that runs cold water through and it circulates cold water to just keep them cool. Well, I don't know. I'm not the expert. I'm sure there. I've seen picture books and books where there's probably one out there that give details on how all that shit works.
Well, I mean, you're supposed to be the expert. I mean that's why I ask you the questions. But I mean, then again, I mean, that's kind of the point of the discussion. But you know what I mean?
I'm the expert from your realm. I know a lot more than you, but there's a lot of people who know a shit ton more than me out there.
Oh, that's fair.
So it requires research. I love Star Wars and I love the characters and the premise and the whole universe of it, but I don't know every waking detail of it.
Well, it's probably because there's just too much to know. There's too much time in storyline. No, I don't know.
I mean, too much because there's Star Trek fans that know everything out there. There's, you know, multiple seasons from each series. And
well, I mean,
there's people out there who could, like, talk Klingon or speak Klingon. And
but when it comes to the canon, it's not as large of a scope of different species and history and storylines in Star Trek compared to Star Wars.
I mean, but still, like, people know Klingon or...
Oh, yeah, I mean, I know some
words
Klingon
or phrases in Romulan and stuff like that. So it's just, like, people who have a greater passion for this stuff, who sit down and take more time to learn it, you know, they're obviously going to know more than me.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, I don't know. I think that there's just, when it comes to canon-wise, I think there's just so much more to know in Star Wars than there is in Star Trek. So it's a little bit easier for Star Trek than it is for Star Wars.
Maybe. But let's get back to talking about the Sand People, because in this episode, I felt like the writers, and Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, I think actually Favreau wrote it by himself, but I think they were trying to show the good side of the Sand People and the Tusken Raiders.
Yeah, try to show
I think
they
got
more...
a bad rap between episode 1 and episode 4, I think, and I don't think they're in 6. But between those two movies, I don't think they get a very, they don't get a good rap given, oh no, in episode 2. Because they kidnap Skywalker's mom, she ends up dying because of whatever torture and crap she faces. So they're kind of shown in a bad light in the first 6 movies. And now you kind of see, well, they have some honor to them with this village willing to help out and kill this Tremor Dragon. Even though I think the actual name's Krayt Dragon, but I'm going to call it the Tremor Dragon.
Oh, Tremor Dragon.
But so they team up with this village, the Mos Pelgo, that village, mm-hmm. And you know, you find out there's a history where the Tusken Raiders would come in and attack the village, and the village would defend themselves, and a lot of people died on both sides, so there's some bad blood there. But, you know, the Raiders, even Mando explains, they're ruthless, they're Raiders, they're not the nicest group of people, but they are true to their word. So if you help them, and if they say they aren't going to attack you unless you raise your guns first, they mean it.
Right. Oh,
so
yeah.
So I think they're trying to shine a better light on them.
Yeah, I think they are more of that warrior culture kind of.
You know, more of I'm thinking I see Tusken Raiders and I think more of Vikings.
Really? I was
kind of ruthless, will go and pillage your village, take whatever they need, but if you ally with them, if you help them, if you're willing to work with them, they'll have a sense of honor and they'll respect you.
Well, I was thinking more Native American myself, more than Vikings. More of
that would be a good,
you know, different peoples intruding on different lands, different claims. They're a bit more nomadic and,
okay.
You know,
that's
be
a good
ruthless pillagers, but can also be honorable at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I agree. That's a good analogy too. I think that probably fits maybe what they were even going for here is to kind of show them in that light. So yeah, I think that's a good analogy for them.
Yeah.
My thing is, obviously, that's not how sand people look. So they're obviously wearing some sort of headgear and mask. So what the hell do these people look like underneath? I know there's some comics or, you know, non-canon stories out there where they look human, but with more of a snoutish nose and more of a flatter face. But I would love to see one without their gear. I would love to see, canon-wise, what these people look like.
I don't know. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe that's why Mando's so sympathetic to them, because they don't take their shits off either.
It's like, hey, you don't reveal your face, I don't reveal my face. We got a good thing going.
Yeah, right?
I like it. You ugly, I'm ugly, we all ugly, we bros. But funny. I just thought that was something to point out, that I feel like they were trying to the writers were trying to show sane people in a better light. And I think they did a pretty good job. You did see a different side of them.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I agree.
So I think the big story to talk about here, and the big topic, is this Marshall, as I throw up my air quotes, who, when we're first introduced to him, you're like, the way the camera pans makes it all dramatic. You're like, you're sitting there and you're like, that's Boba Fett. At least it's definitely his gear.
Oh, yeah. And then
you're like, but you're looking at him and you could tell, you're like, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like you're actually looking at a real Mandalorian, but you are looking at a Mandalorian armor.
Right.
So I think John Favreau directed this, so he did a really good job at kind of showing, this is the armor, but it doesn't have the same feel Mando and the other Mandalorians gave off in season one.
Right. Nor even what, you know, Boba Fett or Jango Fett showed in the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
You know, it almost, I even joked about it during the episode. I mean, looks like Boba Fett wearing a red turtleneck.
Yeah, you're like, what kind of Mandalorian would wear a turtleneck?
Archer. Archer was a Mandalorian.
Archer as a Mandalorian. His would at least be a black turtleneck.
That's funny.
But yeah, and I thought it was great directorship or whatever, directorship, just to kind of, you felt that vibe even looking at it. You know, you're looking like all the puzzle pieces fit, but the vibe just didn't fit. And I thought that was great. Come to find out, you know, first thing the guy does is get two drinks, sits down and takes off his helmet. So you know immediately, oh, this isn't a real Mandalorian.
He's just got his armor.
Yeah, he purchased the armor from some Jawas. And, you know, you get his backstory. And you find a little more about the Mandalorian creed while all this is happening. So, first let's talk about the Marshall's backstory that they set up. And so, as we discussed earlier, after the Empire fell and there was a power void, groups were fighting to take power. So this group came into this village and seized power. And this Marshal, his name is Cobb Vanth. Yeah, we'll go with Vanth. Cobb Vanth. So he escapes. He steals some crystals from this group, makes his way out into the desert, is found by Jawas. The Jawas are like, it almost feels like they're looking at gold. Or gold pressed latinum for all you Star Trek fans out there. And they are offering all their good shit. They're like, I don't know. Here's our best dope. Here's our best girls. Or best guys if you're into guys.
I don't think they offer any of that. But we get the point.
You get the point. In my head, you know, they were offering the best, you know. You see an R2-D2, you see an R2 unit, you see some other goodies, and then, you know, Cobb Vanth is like, I want that Mandalorian armor, so they give it
and
to him.
Yeah, and jetpack.
Yeah. Which shows, it hints at, you know, if Boba Fett's armor was discovered, so what happened? Did Boba die, and the Sarlacc spit out the armor, and the Jawas just came by and swept it up?
Well, if you notice, if you look closely at the armor, you would notice there was a lot of dents.
A lot of dents, scratches, and even paint wear. I haven't seen Return of the Jedi in a couple months, but it was a greener armor.
Why is it?
Well,
it's been green, because in the original movies, it's a greener armor compared to the prequels when Django had it, it was more silver like what Mandalorian has.
It's two different sets of armor. So Django's armor and Boba's armor are not the same.
I thought they Django passed it
had
down.
had a blue silver. I don't think he did pass it down. And I'm trying to think. There's an arc about it in Clone Wars. I'll have to go back and watch it. Or maybe it's Rebels. It might be Rebels. But they're not this. I don't think they're the same sets of armor. Or they could be. And Bubba just painted them his own colors. Because Django had not an orange. He had a blue silver armor. When Bubba had a yellow green armor.
I just imagine it would be kind of like copper, and it kind of the color changes over time. Like how the Statue of Liberty was one color and it was more
It was copper, then it oxidized and turned when copper right. oxidizes it turns its green.
Right. I just figured, Baskar might have a similar property over time.
Even looking in the first season, I think it's I don't know if it's the armorer who adds, because I remember discussing this in those episodes where, at least non-canon, they would mix Baskar with other metals, which would kind of change its color, but it would keep its integrity and its strength. So that might be what's happening canon-wise, or Mandalorians might just paint their gear, and so whenever they get their signet and their house, so for example, Death Watch, I think it was blue and black or something like that. Don't quote me on that, hardcore Star Wars fan. But they had one set of colors, best yet, here's what I'll reference, the Crimson Dawn Mandalorians. They were a red-black, so I think maybe they just painted their armor to fit whatever clan insignia they were a part of.
Right, whatever faction they were with.
Yeah.
Of the Mandalorian tribes. Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense.
So that's... that's how I would look at it. So you could tell Boba Fett's armor has gone through. It's gone through some shit, and it has to if a Sarlacc takes 1,000 years to digest crap.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's obviously that a lot of the paint's gone. You see scratches. There's a big dent on the helmet, but I'm pretty sure there's a big dent on the helmet prior to him going into the Sarlacc bit. Again, don't quote me on that. It's been a while.
Yeah, I need to rewatch the original movies. It's been a while.
I've seen New Hope and Empire. Saw those about a month ago, but it's been like 3 months since I've seen Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, same. I mean, I watched Empire not long ago, but I actually been rewatching I just rewatched the John Wick series, actually.
But back to this Cobb Vanth. He has a pretty cool speeder. A speeder I haven't seen in Star Wars yet. And while we're watching the episode, you described it as a jet turbine. And I'm just...
yeah, it looked like threw a saddle on a jet turbine.
Wish we had my facial expression to see how far back my eyes rolled into my head.
That's literally what it looked like. It looked like he just threw a saddle on a goddamn jet turbine. Like, let's roll, boy.
I know that's what it looked like, but God, I wish I had a camera because you would have saw it. My eyes would have seen my brain. They rolled so far back, and I facepalmed. I didn't literally do it because I didn't want the mic to pick it up while we were recording our reactions, but I would have facepalmed so hard. Come, you don't recognize what that is. No, besides a jet turbine.
Yeah, it was the it was from the first movie. It was the
pod race, racer. And more specifically, I'm not. It was the one.
Wasn't it from the fuck? Oh man, what's the guy?
It looks like Anakin's pod racer.
I didn't think it looked like Anakin's. I thought it looked like one of the other ones, almost like they found and rebuilt one of the other racers. Engines.
Now it could have been, and then threw a saddle on Anakin's for sure, because Anakin's was blue and silver, but they could have easily painted red. But I looked at two pictures. I looked at the pod race from episode one, and I looked at this, and they are extremely identical.
Could it be that they just didn't feel like making a new one and use the old one from the original movie if it was still around?
Well, it could have been,
and repainted it.
But, I mean, we're on Tatooine. This is obviously Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni. They go balls to the wall. They know what they're doing. If they want to put deep cut references in, they know their shit. So, well, I mean, if maybe Lucasfilm had the prop and they're like, hey, let's mess with this.
Yeah, why not? Just the fuck with them, give them some Easter eggs.
Make it look like, because it, I mean, it could have been.
Get people talking about it, you know?
It was, oh, I can't think of his name. Whoever owned Anakin and won.
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember. I don't know what his name is either.
I can't either.
The flying guy.
Watto?
Watto could be.
I don't know. But whichever. I mean, he still owned the pod race, so maybe he had someone else run it in the years, you know, after episode one, crashed it. Someone went and this guy went and salvaged it and took the engine and turned it into a speeder. Who knows? I mean, it's open to the imagination.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be. And it was weird because he was, you know, I joked that he just had a saddle and rode it, you know, the jet engine, but he was able to shift his position relative to the engine. Cause I remember he was riding almost on top of it.
Well, no, it wasn't quite on top. It was to the side.
Was it always to the side? Cause I thought it was on top of it and then he managed to shift it.
No, it was a little to the side, kind of like I won't say exactly like a sidecar Sebulba. On a motorcycle.
It was Sebulba.
Sebulba. There you go. I don't know where I got Watto from.
Yeah, I don't either. And I don't know why I agreed with you.
No, Sebulba was other pod racer.
You sure?
Yes.
Damn. I thought it was Sebulba.
Okay, now you're actually going to make me look.
I know. Jeez, only if we could figure this shit out. No, it was Watto.
Watto, yeah, W-A-T, that's why I thought so, Watto, yeah, because Sebulba was the other pod racer.
I don't know why. I was thinking Sebulba. Damn, I was sure it was Sebulba, too.
Wrong, you thought you were going to stump the expert, but no, you didn't.
Yeah, okay.
But anyways.
Enjoy it while you
can. So back to this Marshall. No, I think his speeder is... It's almost like a sidecar. Like he added some pieces to it, so now he rides it on the side. That's a very funny way of saying that. It sounds dirty, but he's off to the side, like it's a sidecar to a motorcycle.
Yeah,
but
that's kind of what I imagine.
Yeah,
I don't know how you got it sound kind of dirty. Where'd you? What kind of mind do you have?
I said he rides it from the side.
But how?
I don't know.
We'll just go with that.
Yeah, we'll just go with that. But yeah, so I mean, there's not much more to say about him. You learn a lot about him. He's a pretty genuine. He cares about his town. He's very upfront, willing to work with people because him and Mando are going to have a standoff over their armor, which I haven't forgot about the Mandalorian Creed. We'll get into that in a second. When the Tremor Dragon came in and ate one of their Banthas, and that's when they strike a deal. He's like, if you help me kill this, I'll willingly give you this armor. That way, and no problems. And Mando agrees. It's like, no problem. So, Mando, you learn about this guy. Mando starts to trust him. You see he's a pretty stand-up, upfront guy. A lot of honor. Willing to work with sand people who he really doesn't like. And I really like this character. I thought he was acted well.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember where I know him from. I recognize the actor, but I don't remember where exactly I know him from. But
yeah,
it almost reminded me... of I don't remember his name either. I can't remember anybody's name right now. He kind of reminds me of actually the sheriff from DC Legends of Tomorrow. I don't think you've ever really got into that show, but
no, I never got into it. But I was looking at his IMDb boy, we were watching it, and it wasn't him. This guy's name is Timothy Olyphant. And I know he played in this Western show back in the early to mid 2000s.
Timothy Olyphant.
He was also in Not a Thousand Ways to Die in the West. What is that? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think he had a minor role in that.
I've seen the movie, but I don't remember him in it. Let me see. He's also in Hitman, Crazies, I Am Number 4. Oh, I know him from I Am Number 4. He played the guy's guardian or whatever.
And oh, maybe that was it.
Yeah, and he was also in Scream 2.
Oh, I didn't look that far, because Scream 2 was like, what, very early 2000s?
Well, I mean, he was a prominent character in Scream 2.
Yeah, but let me give you...
He was the bad guy in Scream 2.
I don't remember Scream 2. I only remember one.
Well, Scream 2 sucked.
To give you some background on this Cod Vanth, since we got sidetracked a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I was looking up some Easter eggs, because I haven't read all the books. And apparently this isn't the first time he's appeared. Now, according to Screen Rant, which I don't really love their stuff, but according to this, I've read Chuck Wendig's Aftermath. I don't remember him in it. Maybe it was a sequel, because I've only read the first one. I haven't read the last two. But he appeared in one of the Star Wars books, and he was a sheriff. They mentioned him as a sheriff as of this town.
So it's... Okay, so they didn't go far from the book, so maybe, you know, refresher on the books, you might be able to figure out what to expect for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't remember. I mean, it says there were some slight changes between the books and the show, but, I mean, he has to be... They say Chuck Wendig's Aftermath, but I'm pretty sure he's not in the first book. He might be in the second or the third.
I don't know.
But I don't know. I know you haven't read them, so you have no, you can't answer that.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Almost maybe if they were doing a play onto the books, you know, a tribute to the characters. Same with the walls on Tatooine and the dragon for maybe Stark. You know, Knights of the Old Republic fans like me who remember that, you know, maybe it's almost like a nostalgia kind of thing, bringing it into canon.
Well, it's one of those, like, not everyone reads the Star Wars book. You're a Star Wars fan. You don't love it like I, as much as I do, but you've never read the books, and that's a deep cut. And that goes to show, you know, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni and whoever else executive produces really knows their stuff. If they're pulling I don't know if he's a minor or major character in these books, because like I said, I don't remember him in the first one. But to go into a book and pull this character out of a book and kind of have an episode of The Mandalorian on him, that just shows how much they know and how much they care about this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and we said it when we covered Lower Decks, you know, to go back to Lower Decks. I had Dad watch it before listening to the episode, and he agreed with me. He got a lot of the jokes. He thought it was funny as hell, you know, and he even said the same thing as I did without even listening to our show yet, that, you know, it was written by Star Trek fans and Star Trek fans got it. And I think it's kind of the same thing here where, you know, they know what they're doing. They know, hey, Star Wars fans would appreciate it. Cause I kind of appreciate it. I never read the books, but I remember the game, and I remember this stuff from the game, and it's like, oh shit, that I think that is where they're pulling that from, and it's you know, it's a nice
I like to moment. I think of George Lucas as Darth George Lucas, and Dave Filoni was the apprentice, and now Dave Filoni is the master. It's like that's how I see those two right now. It's like having two Sith masters, and then Jon Favreau, who's a very good filmmaker and a very good story writer. I think you got your to break the rule of two, but I think you got an apprentice in him. He knows his shit. He's a big Star Wars fan. It might even be three masters.
Oh yeah.
But okay. I know we got a little tangent in, but I want to talk about this Mandalorian Creed.
Okay, let's talk about the Mandalorian Creed.
What the guy says when he's trying to convince the people is, hey, according to Mandalorian Creed, this armor belongs to the Mandalorians, and it's his job to take it back to his ancestral people.
This one's got a problem. I got a suit of salvaged armor, and the Mandalorian Creed says it's his to take. But I've got a problem, too. As much as I've grown fond of the armor, I'm even more fond of this town. The Mandalorian is willing to help us slay the Leviathan in exchange for returning the armor to its ancestral owners.
From that clip, you find out a lot that Baskar is not just an alloy that Mandalorians, or a metal that Mandalorians mined and use for armor. It's almost sacred to them. It's like, because in this episode and in that scene it's made very clear that someone who is not a Mandalorian that is in possession of Baskar is committing a great offense to a Mandalorian, and the Mandalorian's job and duty, according to the Creed, is to get that armor and metal back into Mandalorian's hands.
Hmm. I wonder why.
I was like,
I'm curious.
I don't know. I'm trying to reference it to something, but I can't think of anything historically or even modern that, you know,
vibranium?
Something means, huh?
Vibranium to the Wakandans? Well, I know it's not real.
I was trying to think of a real one.
Well, it's one that people.
I
might
mean,
be
it's
able
similar,
to...
but I don't think like Black Panther is not gonna.
All right. Well, all right. Let me see. If
Black
I Panther's think of
not gonna
historical...
force Captain America to give his shield back.
You could say tobacco. Tobacco in the Americas, when the English settlers came here, it was a very valuable and prized crop that was actually used as a currency before it was actually used as a currency out here for the longest time, which had a lot of different values because it had a lot of, tobacco gets a lot of a very bad rep, but the plant itself actually has a lot of, you know, benefits to
as long as you don't smoke it.
Yeah, well, through cigarettes. Cigarettes is it's like a million times worse than, you know, even just cigars. I mean, just
oh, yeah.
But plant itself has different values, and it was considered sacred to the Native Americans. They would smoke it, and you know, they would consider it part of their tribal rituals, was smoking it and passing it on to the next person. So you know, maybe,
I mean, that could be, I don't know,
you know, maybe that's the closest equivalent that I can think of off the top of my head from a historical standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, I mean, we're not, I'm not a historian, so I don't know, but, yeah, I the fact you get a good understanding from this, just how important Baskar is to the Mandalorian. And I think it goes a long way. And, you know, obviously what this show is going to do, being called The Mandalorian, is build on that creed and history and understanding of the people. But I think that's a very important value, right, that they laid out that, hey, Baskar, it's like Mandalorians will do anything to get their Baskar back.
Right.
As far as shooting a guy who's pretty, as we find out, is pretty honorable in this episode, as we discussed, and pretty much a stand-up guy, you know, he's willing to kill him if he doesn't get that back. Luckily, they work out a deal, and he gets it back, no harm, no foul.
And he was ready to fight him, too. Like, he, you know,
oh, yeah,
the
they, were ready,
that...
they were ready to freaking draw on each other, like, good and bad, the good, the bad, and the ugly shit. Like, you know, it was like, draw, or Back to the Future.
I mean, they were ready. If it wasn't for the dragon, I mean, that one of them, yeah. Well... I don't know. I mean, I'm curious how that would have went, given that, you know, the Boba's Baskar armor is just as effective, and you know, you even saw it; it worked. Later yeah. in
yeah, when he went
in
to
that
reclaim
flashback.
His town,
yeah, because they shot him and it bounced right off.
And I
guess just wearing the armor makes you feel like a sheriff, you know, bursting through the doors. The whole town, everybody looks at you. All of a sudden, you can just shoot, just. Pew, 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 killing guys left and right like it's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I like the interaction with the bartender when Mandalorian arrives, and he's like, has there been... I'm looking for a Mandalorian. The guy's like, we don't get many visitors. What does he look... What does Mandalorian look like? He goes like, really? Like, looks like me, motherfucker. He's like, oh, you mean the Marshal? You must not have gotten the kick as much.
No,
of the kick
I don't
of
think
as
I
did,
saw
but.
That. I actually don't remember that part. Maybe I just didn't notice it at the time. I don't know.
Because we were watching the episode, and the first thing you said when that interaction was happening was like, of course there's a bar in this little small-ass town.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a town full of, you know, 3-4 buildings, but of course there's a bar.
Yeah, and during that interaction is when everything that I just said happened.
It's probably because, you know, I was talking, or, you know, one of us was talking, and I was focusing on that, not what they were saying. That might
have
been it.
Well, now we're going to have to learn. Next time, we're going to have to keep our mouths shut when the episode's playing.
Well, I don't know. I think we had some funny commentary. I thought that was the point of it, get some commentary.
Yeah, funny for us, but, I mean, not much. The listeners won't catch most of it, if any.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's see how it works out.
Yeah. One thing we haven't talked about this episode, next topic, Baby Yoda.
Oh yeah.
Now every time Baby Yoda, maybe I'll get a compilation of one of these days of all your reactions every time Baby Yoda came on screen. But every time he came on screen, you got giddy.
Hell yeah, I love Baby Yoda. One, been drinking. Two, I've been trying this new. Instead of smoking before this one, I had an extract, a THC extract, which has been infused with a drink. So it's like a little, almost like a fruit punch that gets you high. So I knocked back a couple caps of those because you're only supposed to drink like a capful as a serving. So I drank a couple of capfuls. So I had a pretty good high going.
Okay.
So
even if you were sober, I think you would still get pretty giddy.
Oh yeah, I definitely would. That's for damn.
But you know where I wanted to go was, even though it's Mandalorian's mission to bring back Baby Yoda to his people, I didn't enjoy Baby. I mean, it was funny seeing his reactions, but it felt like his only role in this episode was comedic relief.
Kind of did. I mean, when they were about to start shooting and the dragon came by, he got scared. And then when the dragon went away, they popped back to Baby Yoda and he was hiding in the little spit jar like in the Western movies.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and there's a lot of things, his reactions, you know, when they're riding on the speeders heading towards the Tremor Dragon's cave or whatever to find it, you know, his ears look like a dog sticking its head out the window.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're just, and he has flying, a big smile on his
face. So it's like every time they cut to him, it was comedic relief. Whereas, yeah, he was comedic relief in the first season. But I don't know. I love seeing Baby Yoda, but I didn't love some of his scenes.
Well, I mean, it seemed like this one, they just kind of, Baby Yoda was there being adorable, doing adorable things that everybody loves him doing. And I think that's kind of what this episode was for him. You know,
it might be a situation where the last episode of season one, you know, he had a pretty serious scene where he used the Force to stop a flamethrower and shoot it back at the trooper. And then a couple of minutes later, when Greef Karga is trying to get him to do the magic hand thing, he just waves. And I don't know. I was hoping to see.
I even yelled that, like, during the episode, I'm like, do the magic hand thing.
But I don't know. It just felt like I hated to see him, and I know they will eventually develop him some more, and maybe he'll get the ability to speak. You know, given he is 51 years old, he should be talking any time now.
Right.
So hopefully they'll develop him. I would like to see not all of his scenes just be a quick cut scene to get his reaction for comedic relief. And I know it'll come.
You were expecting more development.
Yeah. Like I said, we saw some, like we talked about in that first scene where he hides when the whistling birds come out. But we'll see. There's still 7 episodes left. A lot can happen. I hope he says his own words, like, I was trying to think of something funny to say, but
I don't know. I mean, what would be good first words for him?
Do or do not, there is no try.
Oh my gosh. Or jeez. All right, well,
I don't know what his first words would be. Or be like, feed me, you must.
Yeah, right. Let's see, what else? What else had interesting happened in this episode?
Up, shut the fuck.
Up, shut the fuck. Oh my gosh. up, shut the fuck.
So I think we covered a lot of the topics and a lot of the areas from this episode.
Oh, I don't think we covered the fight scenes with the dragon.
Oh yeah. That was good. There was moments. I'll cover the fight scene in the CGI, cuz there was moments in this episode where you could tell they were on a soundstage and the CG just wasn't as good, as it wasn't quite movie quality even though they spent top dollar on it. Yeah. But the fight scene, I was impressed that it didn't really, there was one maybe second or two when they fly off on the jetpacks that didn't look great. But other than that, nothing else really took me out of the fight scene CG wise. It looked top notch. It looked good. I don't know why they didn't use the Bantha with explosives to begin with, and they lost all the lives, but even the acid shooting, everything looked really good in that fight scene.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then they should have just listened to me from the beginning and just, you know, got the banter full of explosives, just let them eat it and let it blow up in the stomach. Come on. I mean, it's not rocket science there. They had to wait till the very end and get, you know, most of their sand people killed to figure that out.
Most of the people from both groups.
No, I thought it was just the sand people getting eaten or getting killed. That's what it
looked
like.
The first time he shot his acid, it was sand people, but there's some humans and some people from the village got killed too.
No, I don't remember seeing them getting killed. I just remember the sand people.
Oh, well, gotta pay attention, Poe. But yeah, I liked that scene, and I thought it was a good scene. And now I want to talk about what happens after that scene.
Okay.
So the very end, he gives him his armor. Mando rides back on his speeder. You see the twin sun setting. And who do you get a glimpse of?
Boba Fett.
Ah. We believe it's Boba Fett, but is it really Boba Fett?
Well, who else would it be? Could be... Actually, never mind, because Boba Fett was a clone, so it could be a clone, but then again...
There you go.
But it wouldn't make sense, though.
But either way, it was a hairless... When I said, I know Tamara, I don't know how to say his first name. It's kind of like Pacific Islander, but I'll call him Tamara Morrison. You know, no eyebrows, no face whatsoever on it, or no hair whatsoever on his face. I almost said no face whatsoever on his hair, but no hair whatsoever. No eyebrows, no mustache, nothing on the top of his head. Now, given this is post-original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't, but I know from Rebels, because clones were given an accelerated growth rate, you know, after 10 years they're 20 years old, after 20 years they're 40 years old. So at the start of Rebels, we see a couple clones, and they're older. They look mid-60s, maybe 70s, even though, you know, they're only like 35-ish.
Yeah, and that's the point that I was going to ask.
The growth rate doesn't stop. So now, given that logic, it's a pretty good assumption that this is Boba Fett.
Yeah, because Boba was cloned, but I remember them saying that request was an unaltered clone for himself that would grow naturally with age.
Yep.
Yeah.
So... that's why I wonder how Boba Fett's gonna play a role in this. Is he gonna be an antagonist trying to get his armor back? Is he, you know, are we gonna see him in multiple episodes? Or are we gonna see him in one more episode? There's gonna be one episode where he runs into the Mandalorian and they fight to try to get his armor back.
I don't know.
I don't either, but I'm excited. I mean, I knew he was rumored to come back. I don't think it was ever confirmed, or if it was, I didn't see it. But I'm glad to see. I know we might not see Ahsoka for a while, but
I think there was rumors that he was going to come back.
Well, that's what I was saying. I knew there was rumors, but I don't know if it was ever confirmed.
Well, I think they just got confirmed.
Yeah, definitely for sure. I was glad to see one of these this big rumor come true in the first episode, because I know we might not see Ahsoka.
Maybe
might not be until the back half of the season. It might not be until the last fucking episode. It might be the last minute of the last episode. But
watch, it's like the first scene of the next episode.
We'll see. I'm excited because there's so much to come. We already seen Boba Fett. There's rumors that there might be some rebel characters, maybe Sabine Wren, maybe not even maybe. I know this one's confirmed, but Bo-Katan. I know you don't know who the hell I'm talking about, but I know who I'm talking about, and other Star Wars fans know who I'm talking about.
Right. Was there?
So I'm excited. I'm excited for the rest of the season because we're going to see hopefully a lot of good shit. And I think.
Did we get a preview episode for next week's episode?
I did not look, but there might be a preview. You know, I don't remember actually
staying to watch it if it did.
No, I didn't. But two, at last year when Mandalorian came out, I don't remember seeing preview episodes. Not saying it didn't happen, because there might be, they might give a quick 15-second clip somewhere for a little preview.
I don't.
But off remember. The top of my head, I just don't recall.
Yeah, I actually don't either. I don't remember fully watching them all the first time. Granted, I was probably inebriated, so.
Probably, that's more of a guarantee. But
at the time, I didn't smoke as much, so if I did, it would have been alcohol.
So, I don't have anything else left to talk about. Do you have any talking points you want to bring up?
No.
I think that back. There is one. So, it's another Easter egg. So, as soon as Mandalorian arrives on Tatooine, meets the mechanic lady, you saw the red R2 unit, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, you did, because he's the one that displayed the map.
Mm-hmm.
So, that, I'm not saying it is for sure, but looks-wise, it looks like the same droid that Uncle Owen and Luke almost bought at the start of A New Hope. And if you look on top of it, you can kind of see where some repairs were made, about where the droid's head exploded in A New Hope that caused them to purchase R2-D2.
Ah, that's actually interesting.
Like, you see some black scolding around one of the red cutouts it has on top of its, head.
Hmm. So yeah, I did complain that good help's hard to find. So
yeah, so
could be. So, I wonder if those were the same Jawas that sold it to him then.
I don't know. I imagine
I wonder how many Jawas are.
I imagine those Jawas are like pirates in the ocean that.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'll say. I imagine they're like pirates of the ocean. So we see one crawler. Now it may be only one Sandcrawler roaming around the deserts of Tatooine, but I'm imagining there's a dozen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big planet, so.
Yep.
Granted, they are in that area, though.
Yeah, but that was the last point I wanted to bring. So we'll move on, and I want to get your first thoughts, your initial reaction. What did you think of this episode?
CGI didn't look as good, but I did like a lot of the makeup, though. I did I talked about this in the beginning of the episode, in the fight scene, not the Cyclops.
Gamorreans?
Yeah, the Gamorreans, that they weren't CGI, that was actual makeup, and it looked very real, and they did a great job with that. CGI was a little, not as good as what we've seen, but it wasn't terrible. Fight scenes were still awesome, you know, Baby Yoda was adorable. I mean, it was about what I could have expected from the first episode of Mandalorian. Got Easter eggs, badass fight scenes, cool. I mean, it was nothing different. It was almost like just picked up where it left off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And I think maybe that's what they were going for.
Maybe. And they were hoping that, you know, the Boba Fett, you know, Easter egg at the very end or cliffhanger at the end would draw people back for next week.
So if the episode ended where it was just Mando riding off and the twin sunset, I still think people would come back. In my opinion, it was a good episode. There was some CG issues I had, mainly when they were on the speeders. But other than that, the practical effects were good. The makeup was good. The episode looked good. It looks like a Star Wars movie. Now, maybe they need to throw a little towards the CG budget way and just make it really top notch. But I got everything I wanted. I wanted a longer runtime. I think it was 53 minutes from the start to the finish, to the end of the credits. Now, if you exclude the recap and if you exclude the last 4 minutes of credits or whatever, still start to finish the episode's 47, 48 minutes. That was one of my biggest complaints in the first season. It just wasn't long enough.
And this one was long.
And this one was perfect. If every episode is like this, I will be happy. Hmm. At least runtime wise. And I think we got a great story. I like the character of Cobb Vanth. I thought he was a good character. They hinted at maybe he'll come back because they're like, if I ever run into you again. So I liked it. I enjoyed the episode. I was giddy watching it the whole time, nerding out on my lunch break from work. So,
Yep.
I had fun with the episode. I look forward to more Mandalorian.
All right.
Shall we punch it?
Punch it, we can beat him.
Punch it,
kill
it.
Punch it.
Punch it!
Punch it!
Punch it, Hawk Knight! Punch it! Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's punch it.
What else do we got? Anything to expect for next week's episode? You know, anything to look forward to?
I don't know much about next week's episode, so here's what I'll say. Is coming to you next time on Deep Space High. It's Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 2. I haven't been able to find a title to it yet.
I don't think there is one.
Oh, okay. I just found it. It took me 5-10 minutes. But so this one was entitled... Oh, hold on. I think this is a lie. Yeah, this isn't right.
All right, fake so we have news. No idea.
So, because, well, I was looking at this site, and it was like, titles revealed, and then it said Chapter 9 was titled The Search, when it's not The Search, it's titled The Marshal. So, I'm not going to go with that source. So, next time, you know, Episode 2, I don't know the title as of right now, and I don't have a preview. There might be one out there. I don't have it. I didn't look it up, so it's kind of a mystery. We're just going in blind week to week.
Yeah, and they really didn't, you know, there's no storyline to base the continuation off of, just, you know, yeah, him
the
continuing
only hint
searching
we have...
from for that Mandalorian. Maybe,
yeah, I think,
maybe they'll find, maybe we'll figure out and he'll, you know, we'll find out if it is Boba Fett and we'll get some more information there. Maybe there'll be some conflict.
Yeah, the only thing is, I mean, they left it off with Boba Fett, so maybe he'll appear in Episode 2, but if I know these writers, they're not going to pay off that tease until later in the season.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, I think that Boba's the Mandalorian that they were looking for on the planet.
Yes and no. I mean, there's been some question. Is he even a Mandalorian? Because, technically, he didn't grow up there. They in the... I think it's Clone Wars.
But they did say that they haven't seen one in a while, and it might have been him that they were talking about.
Could have been, but I think it's Clone Wars. Someone is bringing up Jango Fett and how he's a Mandalorian. It is in Clone Wars. And they dismiss it immediately. They're like, Jango Fett's not a Mandalorian. We don't know how the hell he got that armor, but he's not one of us. Which leads to turn, okay, Boba Fett's probably not really a Mandalorian either. Now maybe they'll retcon that, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I figure what they would do is they would just say, oh, we assumed it was a Mandalorian because he had the armor. And they recognize the armor.
Could.
I don't know.
Very well could.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out next Friday.
I guess we will.
All right. Well, I guess
next Friday for us, next Tuesday for you. Well, that you'll listen to this episode next Tuesday.
So next Tuesday, you'll find out what we have to say about Mandalorian.
Yep, you will.
All right. Well, I guess that will do it for this week's episode then. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Deep Space High. Be sure to join us next week as we continue our discussion of the Mandalorian.
Yes, and don't forget to keep the conversation going with hashtag DeepSpaceHigh. And also, check out our Facebook page. Give us a like at DeepSpaceHigh Sci-Fi TV Reviews, and give us a like and follow on Instagram at DeepSpaceHigh Podcast. You'll get the latest announcements when episode drops and whatever else we decide to put out there. Yeah, so follow us, give us a like. If you have any questions, comments, if you know any of the aliens from early in the episode, go ahead and like us and shoot us a DM and let us know, inform us. We like to learn.
Yeah, or be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcast. That's another way. Those reviews actually give us a lot of help, gives us good feedback on you know, what we can do to make the show better and give you guys a better listening experience.
Yeah, and some of you who have been listening to every episode know that we could use probably all the feedback we can get.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. All right, well, on that note, I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
And I'm Jedi Master Steve. May the Force be with you. Or thank the Force. Or about damn time Mandalorian's back. Whichever one I decide to throw in there. Or all of them. Who knows?
This is the way.
This is the way. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. This is the way.